Welcome to Classical Baddies. My name is Sophia.
I'm Nisha.
And I'm Katie. And you may have noticed that today our intro is a little bit different. And that's because I have one very, very special question to ask Nisha. Have you heard of The Marriage of Figaro?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah.
What is it like an opera by Beethoven or something?
No, it's Liszt.
Oh no, I
This.
definitely
<Liszt.
think it's Rachmaninoff.
I
No.
know.
I think I remembered. I think it's Wagner.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's it, Richard.
It's
I almost said knock on wood.
Knock on wood, it's Richard.
But my brain
Oh.
would knock on wood to like keep the spirits away. Like this is how we get Wagner out of our house.
Oh
Richard,
God.
go away. Leave us alone.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, since our last episode was an in-depth dive into The Marriage of Figaro, and we know that you are heading into show week, I figured
Yes.
that we should ask you some questions about it. Let the viewers know what it's like to be an opera student, to be in an opera, what show week is like, maybe even what it's like.
Yeah, especially because Nisha, you apparently are a jack of all trades when it comes to this opera. She's on the scene, she's behind the scene, she's understudying. I didn't write down the exact list of things you do. Katie, please tell us.
All right, so for this show, Nusha is in the chorus. She is understudying for Marcellina. She is assistant stage manager and assistant director. She also helps out with the tech, which is the set stuff,
Building.
set building. Yes. She also helps out in the costume department.
Wow. She's on the
Yeah.
stage, she's off the stage, she's behind the stage, she's under the stage, she's
She
hanging
is
from the bloody
the
rafters. Like she's doing it all.
stage. I am the Phantom of the Opera.
Just leave the chandelier alone, okay? Never kidnap anyone,
The new show
Yusha.
of the opera is here on Imagine.
our podcast.
Oh God. I mean, yeah, I definitely am doing a lot more than I've ever done for an opera. It's a lot. So I started off the show. It's really funny, actually. I started off the show just being in the chorus. That's it. That's,
Yeah.
I mean, and I was, and I was on the tech team a little, which is building the sets. But then I got cast. Well, I actually went and asked for the understudy role because we had the understudy like leave for the summer, and I was like, was supposed to be doing a role study of the role, so I asked, can I do the understudy? I got the understudy, and then like I got cast as the chorus soloist, like the flower girls.
Yeah.
And then I started doing the assistant directing thing, and like so I started doing all of that, and then I also started helping out a little bit in the costume shop, not much, just a little bit. And then recently, now that we're going into show week, I've also been asked to, once the we're doing the show, to be the assistant stage manager, backstage
Yeah.
on the headset and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. It's, I definitely have gotten an in-depth knowledge of what Figaro is.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's
I
so
know.
amazing. There's so
It
much
just
to do.
built up slowly until.
Until I was like, remember when I like had nothing to do in this show?
So, because all of your roles, what does a day of rehearsal look like for you?
Okay, well, so that depends on whether or not I have a Marcellina understudy coaching or a chorus coaching or anything like that, or if there's chorus staging. In the case that there isn't, I'll be sitting in rehearsal with the director all day, socially distanced, obviously, watching the rehearsals, taking notes on the staging, on everything that's going on. If the director needs me to grab anything, I'll be running around doing that. Speaking with different people, Like there are like days when we were getting closer to it, which would be like, I need this, I need that. And so I'd be running back and forth, just like getting out of my chair, running to the like costume shop, grabbing like a small thing that we need, coming back, giving her that, then like sitting for maybe like 2 seconds, and then she'd ask for another thing, get up, run. So
Getting your steps in.
that's for sure. so like there's that that I'd be doing. But if it's like a day that it's almost worse when it's a day that I do have a Marcellina or Carabino.
Oh, Nicola.
All right, so you suddenly became a mezzo.
Or chorus coaching, because then I like we have our coachings in different buildings right now because of COVID. So
Oh, no.
like I'll have like, rehearsal for like an hour and a half, and then I'll have to run and get to my coaching, and then I'll have to
Yeah.
run back and get to rehearsal, and then like ho like that's hopefully that like my Marcellina and my chorus would be like close to each other so that I wouldn't have to like go back and forth and things
Yeah.
like that. But it's also the hard part of that is also staying warm vocally,
Yeah.
because if you're just sitting there and like you can't leave unless you like I asked to leave like a few minutes early to warm up, sure, but it's different than like having like half an hour to warm up before.
Oh, totally.
And so like it's definitely given me like more experience to be able to just like get up and sing
Yeah.
because there's also times where like a Marcellina hasn't been there, or we didn't call a Marcellina and like she just needs to pop one into some staging. And like so then I'll just get up and start singing and I'm like this isn't my role, I'm understudying it, but like I haven't got up to perform it yet, so like it's a little scary when you just jump up there, but it's also a part of the process, right? Like
Oh, totally.
as an opera singer, like you have to learn how to do that, because that's sometimes when you're going to get the biggest opportunities is when someone calls you last minute and says, can you do this? And you go, yep, I can.
Yeah, of course. And it also shows like that you're studious and you're ready to go
Yeah.
because which gives you like a great reputation within the community that you are working with.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you want people to know that they can count on you and you're like the reliable choice that when they need someone, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
Cool.
it's definitely been a wild ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that you're entering your dress rehearsal, because the show's just about to open, has that like changed your duties during the rehearsals at all?
So now that we are doing our dress rehearsals, we're in a new location. We're in our performance location. And what I'll be doing is so once again, because it's COVID, I have to take down all of the staging and I'm writing it down in there because we're recording it, right?
Yeah.
So that I can pass it off to the stage manager so that she can call the camera cues and everything like that. So because I've been here for the whole process, I've been taking it down and I'm transferring it into like a neater package for her,
Yeah.
and then just passing it off to her. So that's like my biggest job right now, is because I have to take down where they move, when they move. So like the cue line and who's moving. So like there are scenes like the sextet where there's like six people on stage singing and moving, or like the finale of Act Two kills me because it's, sorry, let me just count this real quick. It's Marcellina, Basilio, Bartolo, the Count, Don Curzio, Susanna, Figaro, and the Countess. Did I
Oh
say the
wow.
Count?
No, you
I
said
think
the
so.
countess. I thought you said the count and the countess. So it's either 8 or 9.
It, internet, yeah. So like, which doesn't sound like a lot for like an opera, normally, but
Yeah.
think that we have to keep everyone 3 meters apart, right? Spread out along the stage, and then they have all this like moving and things like that. So their entrances, they're like moving. Some of them dance, like, and I have to get all of that down and the exact line that they move on, which always changes because actors don't move on the same line every time.
No, they're not chess pieces.
No. So
Yeah.
like I have to kind of get like a general gist of like around what line that they'll be moving at, and like get that down. So that's always fun.
So that's a lot. You have to be like super observant.
Yeah, it's definitely helped me become quicker at picking up staging.
Yeah. You can only get frustrated like staring at the person not getting it until you realize that you yourself have to be the actor you want to see in the world.
Yeah, well, because sometimes, so our shows are double cast.
Yeah.
So sometimes one cast will, like, one actor will do a completely different thing from the other one. And I'm like, I don't know which one to write down.
Mm-hmm. We'd love the interpretations.
Yeah. So just label them, like, Susanna 1, Susanna 2.
That would get so confusing. Like,
oh my God.
First of all, thank God the Susannas are, like, pretty much, like, right on the mark with, like, they do very, very similar things to each other, because Susanna is moving all of the time.
Yeah.
So if it was her doing something completely different, like, I would lose my mind.
Just has two entire separate scores and be like, so this is when this one moves, and this is when this one moves, and this is when this one moves. Years. So being all of this, how have you handled or balanced doing it all?
The look in her eyes says that she hasn't.
It's certainly been like a lot to, it was a lot to learn to do, you know, because it's my first time. Well, like, not my first time. I've done some stuff like this before, but my first real time doing all of this at the same time. It's my first understudy. It's my first time being an assistant director. I've done some assistant stage managing before, but, like I haven't actually done that yet in this show. But so doing those two for the first time with a bunch of other stuff, it took me a second to get a grasp of, like, what is my task? Like, what am I doing? And how can I make sure that I'm not, like, overwhelming myself, but I'm making sure that all my work is getting done, and that I'm, like, a reliable understudy, and that I'm a reliable assistant director, that I can help people. Like that was a big thing for me. And I feel like I finally got a better grasp of it. And I think that, like, the weirdest thing for me in terms of being assistant director was that suddenly, like, all my peers that I've been working with, like, I'm their assistant director.
Yeah.
You know? Which, like, you know, I feel like sometimes, like, you have to make sure that, like, just because you have this job doesn't mean that you're better than anybody. And, like, that's something that, like, I feel like that came out weird.
Well, it makes sense, though, not to let, like, the authority that you have or any power that you've gained get to your head.
But it's not even that. It's more that I'm concerned that, like, people will think that I've let it get to my head. Like, I'm not going to let it get to my head, you know? But I'm concerned that if I, you know, I have to balance that line of, like, yes, I'm assistant director, and, like, you know, I have the authority of, like, when the director tells me to tell the students something, like, I go in and tell them. But, you know, or, like, because of COVID, I have to make sure I'm letting people know that you have to stay 3 meters apart and things like that. But also, like, I don't want to be a rude person, and I don't want to come off as rude either. And so, like, it's just figuring out, like, how to relay the messages, you know, firmly, but also kindly and, you know, respectfully. And I feel like that's, interesting line to balance.
So do you feel like doing all these different jobs, because obviously this is, any one of these is time consuming on its own, which I'm now realizing as I'm entering my question was kind of besides the point. But anyways, I'll go for it. Do you feel like doing all this stuff and, you know, being on stage and behind the scenes at the same time is, like, influencing you as a performer, as an actor / singer?
Yeah. So, like I said before, in terms of staging, being assistant director has definitely forced me to, like, pick up on staging much faster. Mm-hmm. Because my brain's just so much more aware of what's going on around me. Because when you're sitting there and you're trying to get down everyone's staging, you have to be thinking of, like, a million different things, but also absorbing all the staging and everything like that. So it's helped in that sense. It's also helped that, like, you know, I'm on a shorter, like, I have a like I'm on a time crunch and I have less time to get my things done and I have less time to practice the understudy role. So you really have to dedicate yourself to it and like finish that in a shorter period of time, which is also a good thing because it teaches you how to learn a role in a condensed time frame.
Yeah, I was about to ask if you think that this will help, that learning these skills will be beneficial in the long run. But I mean, clearly, it's such a definitely. Great opportunity. So because you are assistant director, has that made you think at all about possibly going into directing or like thought about if you like it or not?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that like directing is something that I find very interesting and I enjoy it, mm-hmm. but I also really enjoy performing. I think that there's a chance that like I'll try both one day or like do directing later in my life. But I don't, right now, things always change, you know, you can see where it goes. Right now, I don't see myself purely doing directing.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But I certainly have an interest in it.
Yeah, well, and I mean, hopefully you'll have a long career, right, as all of us wish. and you could have your career as a performer, and then maybe later on in life you could be a director, or you can do both at some point. It's really... In the opera world, it's not just cut and dry.
Yeah.
That's true for a lot of the arts, is there's just so many different facets to what goes into just a single performance that so many people, you know, don't see. Because unless you're in the industry, why would you see any of that? So, you know, exploring those options, things like that. Because again, like we all hope for like a long and fruitful career as performers, but you know, you never know. And you never know what catches your interest too, because it's still producing some really great art. I feel like right now we're trying to talk Nisha into becoming a director.
No, for sure not.
Nisha, go become a director. Yes. Give us roles.
Exactly. Yeah. Cast us in things, please.
Cast
the only
us,
way
please.
It'll happen.
Oh, no, that's not true. I'm sure you'll get cast. Like, anyways.
It's okay. Bad is the opera. Let's go.
Oh, let's do it.
We're our own directors, managers, writers, instrumentalists.
I am not. Do you think, so throughout this process, do you think this has given you more of an appreciation for the whole process of creating an opera or like being able to perform one?
Yeah. Honestly, throughout my bachelor's, it's been a slow process of just realizing how much work goes into this. because, like, first it starts with being in your first opera, and you're like, oh my god, rehearsals, and all this stuff, and timing, and then getting in the costumes, and doing performances in costumes, which, by the way, when you do a summer opera in, like, Mozart-era things, like, those petticoats and skirts and like every, you just so hot. It's so hot. Like you feel like you're dying.
Do you ever have to do like your lunch run or like a coffee run in costume?
We are not allowed to.
Okay.
But you have to take those things off.
Oh my goodness.
Very
I would just
funny
love
showing up to like a on-campus Starbucks and like full Mozartian. Like, you know, you're like, I just want my latte. Stop looking at me like that.
Oh, my goodness.
What? Is this weird? Is there something weird about this?
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you looking at something?
I'm just a proper lady in my stays and petticoats.
Yeah. My petticoat and skirt and, like, my corset, like, top and everything. Just very normal.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. The best outfit ever.
But yeah, so first, you know, that part of it. And then I started volunteering in terms of building the sets. And then I got hired to build the sets. And, like, that put a whole new level. Because I would help to strike the set afterwards. And then I started volunteering to help build the sets. And then I got hired for it. And it's just like, oh, there's so much work. Like, you know. For us before, like, you know, you go home, you come in one day and you're like, whoa, the set's here, cool.
Yeah.
But like when you go and build it yourself, you're like, oh my god, there are so many tiny pieces that we're putting together for this. Like one of the biggest shows that I think I was a part of was Passenger. I helped build that, because for anyone who doesn't know, Passenger is an opera about Auschwitz and like the Holocaust. And so we built like a concentration camp on the stage, as well as a boat above it, because like it's a flash between the past and the present. Well, not for our present, but like for the character. And so it follows like an SS officer, like a female SS officer who is on a boat with her new husband going to like America or something like that. And she sees someone who she thinks looks like a prisoner that she sent to die in Auschwitz.
Wow.
Right. And so so in that case, like we have all of like a concentration camp built, like the barracks, the barbed wire like walls, like the bunks and like everything like that. And so it's just like the guard towers. We had two huge guard towers on stage that like people actually went into. So
yeah, I remember I got the opportunity to see it one day back, like just when nobody was there. I got to go with Nusha to walk around the performing center. And it was amazing. And like the scale at which the set was like amazing. You could climb the bunks, you could climb the guard towers.
But you didn't. You didn't.
But I did not. No, but I did not. Let's just make that very clear. I didn't touch them. But yeah. It was so wild to see like what a set looks like up close. I had never gotten that opportunity before.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, because you build it piece by piece, like it takes a second for you to realize what you've built. But then you take a step back and you see like our stage is 3 floors high. We have like the stage level, which has Auschwitz. We have the top level, which has the first layer of the first floor of the boat. And then the top floor, which has like another floor of the boat. And like, I didn't think that was possible until we did it. So that was that aspect of it. It just blows my mind. And then now being in the like directing side of it, it just gives a whole, and like the costuming side of it, just like seeing all of that, it just gives you a chance to see how many people are putting in so much work into one production. Like, you know, you see the students, you see the leads, you see the director, you see the head tech builder, the head costumer, like all of this, like it's not just them, but the people that work with them, countless hours into building this production that like hopefully, and it usually does, turn out really, really good.
Yeah. Opera is definitely a labor of love for everybody involved. I would hope so, especially since it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we have any more questions for Nusha?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I got one more.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready? So Nusha.
Oh?
Are you aware of how proud of you we are?
Oh, that's really cute. Yeah. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always. We've seen what this has been doing to you.
We've seen how this has helped you grow as an artist and a person and how much you love it. Yeah, I think that concludes our interview. Thank you so much for allowing us to interview you, Nusha.
Well, thank you for interviewing me.
Yeah, hopefully one day we'll all be interviewed for our amazing careers.
to many more interviews.
Yes. Right? Seriously, guys, I have my like morning cup of tea here.
Me too.
I don't have anything, but here's my fork from the cake I ate. Cheers.
Oh, perfect. Cheers.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us today and for like the second episode of just me rambling.
Yeah. This is a follow-up to our last episode where Nusha went into detail about The Marriage of Figaro and what that opera is. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure to go back and listen. It is a very special episode and it is extra long just for everyone's enjoyment.
Yes.
Yeah. In depth is for sure. But so thank you so much for listening to us whenever you're listening to this. As always, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, TikTok, Facebook, and make sure to leave us a comment or anything. Let us know what you guys want to hear next. And we also have our card site linked on there. So
on our card site, you can find everywhere that we are streamed, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Pandora, and many, many more.
As always, dear listeners, thank you for listening. We've been Classical Baddies, and we hope to catch you next time.
Oh, wait. I feel like we should say, it's by Mozart. We promise we know.
Hopefully they listened to last week's episode.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah.
They don't actually think we're dumb. It's fine. Bye, guys.
Bye.